In a cold, faraway world, a battle is raging between evil and good. From the stars that came here to Earth, caught in their struggle through the whole universe. Robotic warriors.
Who's up to here? Welcome to Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure. TFYLP for short. Join us and discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. And now, without further ado, here is Weird Wolf. Now, where did I put that chorus stop? Ratchet, can you take the chorus stop? Only the strong will survive.
Welcome to another Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure. I'm your host, Plasticon. I am joined tonight by Megamus.
What's up, everybody?
Brycey.
How's it going?
Don.
Evening, everybody.
Our exclusive Swedish guy.
Hello, everybody.
Mr. Sideburn. That's not even looking at the camera.
The best one.
The best one, yeah.
Who's that guy?
Obviously, we never forget about Mr. Protoman.
How you doing, guys?
And there's someone else joining in the background.
Yes, there is. That's my son. He needs to go to bed. So, our cast tonight, we're primarily going to be talking about toy news, some of the new stuff that's come out, some of the stuff that is going to be coming out, some things a lot of you guys have been really looking forward to. Later on, we will be announcing our winner for our little giveaway that we've had. Megamus will hit that up toward the end of the cast. And we will also start talking about convention news and anything else that kind of comes to mind toward the end. So tonight, let's go ahead and start out with one of the big hitter things that a lot of people's actually been looking forward to possibly getting is one of those new third-party masterpiece Dinobots. Don, you have the floor here, buddy.
All right. As everybody knows, Fantoys made a Quake Wave is doing Scoria, and they're also doing their Swoop Analog, which are the first two up for pre-order. They've just announced this week that they are doing not Snarl or Sever, and Sever is available at good fine stores like Captured Prey. I'll just put the link in the chat. And right now it's just line art drawing, but it does show a lot of the detail that's available on the figure. It does look like that the dino feet will fold in like Scoria does in robot mode, so you don't have them hanging off the side. But Scoria, you can transform based on the tech shots we've seen, and you can have them on the outside of the legs to replicate the G1 design. This is estimated for the fourth quarter. For example, Capture Prey has it up for a pre-order of $170. The price is, it depends on if you like Masterpiece Dinobots. I really don't think we're going to be seeing Takara bring those out. I mean, companion pieces to go with Masterpiece Grimlock, but this is one I've personally been wanting. Sludge was my first Transformer ever, so he will always hold a special place in my heart, but Snarl was one of my favorite Dinobot designs, and since he was asked from the animated movie in 86, it'd be nice getting him in this size and those colors. So that's something I'm looking forward to personally.
So how are you guys feeling about the price point on this, on these that have been coming out?
What is the price point on that one?
A Capture Prey is $170. Other stores have it $189 to $199. So you're looking at about two bills, but most places do offer free shipping, so there is that.
All right, hang on. It's popping up. Now, didn't he offer an early bird, on... $170.
Yeah, at Captured Prey, it is $170 as well for the early bird.
Right, and that's they also did what's the other one called? Scoria? Wasn't that the other one?
Yeah.
And he had offered an early bird on that one as well.
Right.
Okay.
I'm trying to remember the name of the Pterodon.
I can't remember the names, but now that one's not even out yet. The very first one they did. Now, isn't that due out any time now?
Yeah, Scoria is due out pretty soon. It's been delayed just for a few shakedown pieces, from what I understand. But if you look online at different reviewers, a few people have test pieces, and I've heard nothing but good things on the review so far.
Now, what has the quality been like on the review? Well, first of all, who's doing the reviews? Which reviews have you seen?
I know P.L. had one.
Okay.
I believe Octobotomus had one.
Okay.
And I think
out of those two, what were their opinions? Were there any negatives on it?
All the negatives that I remember came from basically them being test shots. A few loose pieces here and there. A couple of the parts were not quite solid as far as the connecting goes. But P.L., that's one I most recently watched. He said everything that he had a problem with was basically because of a test shot. You know, and stuff that would be fixed later on. Oh, and the okay. and the swoop figure is called Soar. I don't know how I forgot that.
Yeah.
But, well,
it's
a little different than our swoop that we normally get.
Yeah, well, I like the fact that they're going to hold off on releasing it until they get everything worked out. A lot of people get up, they get upset because they have release dates and they get pushed back and they get pushed back. But the truth of the matter is that if they go ahead and release those, they're going to get a lot more, fanboy, backlash if the product doesn't meet to their expectations. So, take your time, get it right.
What was that third party dive bomb that came out that really wasn't the greatest quality at the very beginning?
When
the product came, because from the review I saw from Ball Matrix, he ripped that thing pretty bad because it was just completely floppy. Things did not peg in right. It was just a complete mess, and that's called rush production. So, you do have to keep in mind any third-party piece comes out. If you give them time, it'll come out as a quality product. If you don't, then it's going to come out garbage.
Yes. So, a great example of that is Mastermind Creations. I purchased their The Hearts of Steel Optimus Prime.
Oh, God.
I purchased
I love that design. They got
better. Well, that's the thing.
That's the thing.
They got their head out of the rear end. They repaired the thing. They basically released it in a different color. And then.
No, they did. What was it called? Annihilation?
The one that they did that was messed up.
Yep.
Yeah.
When they called Annihilation.
Mm-hmm.
And then they did the shattered glass version, and now by that time they had worked out all the bugs, but definitely the first prime was a lot of problems.
And I'll be honest, that is not one of my favorite figures, but I still like it for the character because going with Hearts of Steel is such a unique aesthetic. It would kind of be hard to pin down on the first release. I can understand that, but what I'm saying is that they did, like y'all said, they actually got much better, and then they went to the Hearts of Steel, the Seekers. That was very well received. Then they did Cyclops, which is a personal favorite of mine.
Well, now I disagree with you on the Seekers. I disagree with you. There was pros and cons on those. Really flimsy tabs. Really pointy, thin wings and propeller blades. You had a lot of them that actually had, if I remember correctly, there was a part on the chest that was a lot of them. It was commonly broke.
Well, yeah,
broken.
So then
they had to have them replaced.
The thing is, too, I got to mess with a lot of those when I did the third party panel for, I think it was TFCon 2012, and they sent us all of that, like that, the Cyclops, everything. And I found that those are third-party toys that are – there's sensitive areas on them. You know what I mean? There's something you can't just transform ham-fistedly. Like there's stuff that will break on them. Like in the case of the Cyclops, it's the tabs to do the vehicle mode. The Starscream,
correct.
Skywarp, and Thundercracker, all of them, because of the design that they represent, everything is thin plastic on that. So
right. In actuality, now let me ask you this. I didn't mean to hit you.
Go ahead.
But real quick, did they ever change that or fix it to where?
No, that was the final.
It's always got bad tabs.
Yeah, that was always. And the thing is that the way that they function, and we've had the guys come to our show, is just that they make stuff with thinner plastic to keep the cost down, and their stuff's not cheap to begin with already. So, I mean, when they did their first Heart of Steel Optimus, and they had, I think it was the tabs that were made out of clear plastic that would break when you transformed it. They
fixed it was in the shoulders. That's the ones that usually snapped first.
Yeah. So in order to fix that, all they did was they changed the type of plastic that was used, but they didn't change the thickness or density of it. So the other ones, like the Starscream and stuff, there's nothing that they could really do to fix that by, you know, even if they made it a stronger plastic, it's still a thin area. It's still those thin propellers, the thin joints, the thin little aesthetic things on it. And the same thing with the Shockwave. I mean, you could make it really strong plastic or resin, but because it's such a thin area, it's going to break, you know? So there's not much you can do. I mean, even if it's an official product, there's not much you could do.
Yeah, but let me ask you this. If they would have taken it and retooled it and cost went up a little bit more, don't you think fans would have accepted that?
Well, the thing with third party is that you already know what you're kind of getting into, which is that's why I always kind of have never been a huge fan of third party stuff. It's because it's a big investment for a price point you normally would not pay in terms of price point when I mean a size. And you kind of halfway know that because it's an official product, you can't rage on it too much. You can't go, oh my God, the QC is bad or the paint is bad. You kind of knew what you were getting into.
Well, I agree with you in one aspect, but I disagree with you in the aspect that you're going to get a lot of figures that you normally never would get.
Oh, yeah, of course.
So in order to fill those gaps, rather than you going out building it yourself, this is the next best thing. And, yeah, your quality is not going to be like Hasbro, Takar, whatever. And you're right. You need to go in with that frame of mind. You also need to go with the frame of mind that it's going to cost more.
I think
because they're not pumping out so many. I understand
that. The only time that third party will do stuff that I personally believe Hasbro will never do is stuff on that borderline high-end masterpiece stuff. Like those Dinobots, I agree. I don't really see Hasbro ever doing that. Stuff like Giant and Devastator, Giant and Hercules, something like that. I want to say Hasbro would never do something like that, but that's one of those things that I could be wrong. I remember I once did a podcast where when Power Core Combiner was out, I was like, this is all Hasbro's ever going to do with Combiners. And then literally the next day they revealed War for Cybertron Bruticus, and I was like, well, I'm going to shut up now. You know?
I was just thinking that because I'm just wondering with the over – Do y'all think Fall of Cybertron Bruticus was a success or failure? Because that –
Well, considering
that – Personally, myself, because, I mean, I owned almost every rendition of it apart from the San Diego Comic-Con. Mm-hmm. And I actually had no issues with it. Even when they did the Ruination, the retool and everything, it held together fine. It didn't fly to pieces.
Hasbro also didn't let it become a failure because within the year that it came out, it was repainted like seven different times across the entire world. There was like the SDCC one, a retail one, the Wreckers one, a Japanese one, the BBTS G2 version, the first release SDCC. There's a two-pack one, which is a mild change from the SDCC one that came with Grimlock. Right. They made sure that even if this thing does bomb, that they made all their tooling money back from multiple molds.
No, wait, let me ask you something.
Well, let me
ask you about that because you're talking about them reusing the molds several times. Now, and I'm not going to go into a lot of debate on this. I'm just going to mention it for one little aspect, and that's the new re-release of the Masterpiece Grimlock. And I'm not going to go into all the crap that is surrounding that. Mm-hmm. But I do know that there is mold degradation in there, and there's a lot of problems with the ones that are coming out now, be it with the paint, the lining up.
Are we talking the Hasbro release?
That's correct. They re-released it again, and it is far. It has so many flaws compared to the first, even the second release that Takara did. And my question was, is if you had had any of the Bruticus that came out at the beginning and towards the end, did it suffer the same thing? Because generally, if they keep using it, and you everyone here knows what mold degradation is, you're going to have flaws at the end. Did you notice that, or has anyone reported that?
The one thing is that Grimlock comes from a time when molds were made with metal cast press. Now they're doing stuff digitally. So I don't know if War for Cybertron Bruticus came out when that digital age was standard now, because now we're not going to see that anymore. Now we're going to be seeing, like, everything's like a Shapewaves kind of thing in Hasbro's archives now. So
yeah, I can see them doing this because it's a lot cheaper to 3D, to pretty much 3D print something than to pour steel molds to make something and then have to worry about mold degradation over the years.
But what I'm trying to get at, though, is Grimlock comes from that time when it still was steel. It still was that. I mean, people tend to forget that was a very early masterpiece toy. You know, that was MP6,
Eight, something like that.
Yeah. MP7. But you know, like he was like one of the early ones. I remember he was like the hot item at BotCon 2008. You know, or excuse me, 2007. So, War for Cybertron, Fall for Cybertron, Bruticus. He came out much later, and I think by then things have changed at that point. But also the thing with the mold degradation, I think that also there's a strong possibility, don't take my word for this, but that second release of the Japanese one that came with the flame sword and everything and the coin, that's the Japanese release, and I don't want to be the, you know, Takara rules, Hasbro sucks kind of thing, but I really believe that it's possible that the Hasbro one just might have cheaper plastic or thinner plastic compared to the Japanese release to keep the cost down. Case in point, the Rodimus. The Rodimus of the Hasbro release, really bad plastic quality. Maybe it's the choice of the color that it was molded in, but there's been a ton of issues with that one right out of the box, where the Japanese release, outside of, like, say, leg paneling, there hasn't been much.
Right, right. Well, let me just say this. I have had the first release Takara version. That's the one I kept.
Grimlock you're talking about.
Grimlock, I'm sorry. Yes, okay. Grimlock. Okay. Yeah, I had the first release Takara version. I've had the first release Toys R Us Hasbro version. And I've had the one that Takara released just recent, or you know, semi recently with the flame sword. And I have seen a ton of reviews on the new Hasbro one that was just released. There is a progression of degradation in all of them, being that the first Takara one, I could show you. You could take it, you could hold it, shake it, and nothing. Just the first, the very first Hasbro one that they did had problems with the ball joints, with the dino legs not being able to hold a pose. You put the sword in, his arm drops. The little dino arms are like the worst. So I agree with you. I think that when Hasbro did it, they used a less superior quality of plastic.
One thing I can touch base on right here, this is going into like the newer movie toys. One of the newer movie toys I picked up was the Bumblebee that they released. That's the 67 Camaro. The whole back portion of the entire top of it and the rear trunk portion for the rear of the car is extremely thin plastic. It really feels like it could snap like a twig.
Oh, really?
So something I am noticing, yes, it's something I'm really, really noticing right now.
Should I open
with
it?
These.
I was going to say, how would you think? You haven't opened it yet.
Well,
Do it! Right on camera. Do it. Just rip it right open.
Just rip it open right now. Do it.
Exactly. He took my thing. He threw a toy. There we go. First into international toy throwing.
I really haven't noticed that the Dinobots feeling cheap in that way, though. So, I mean, maybe they cut corners with Bumblebee because even though
you're talking about the new Age of Extinction Dinobots,
yes,
right?
Yes, he is talking about
Yeah, I have all four of them that have been released. Well, the Voyager and the three Deluxes.
How do you feel about those? Like, what's the quality feel like?
Plastic-wise, they're pretty good. I don't really have any problems with them. Now, they have been kind of loose in the ball joints, and some of the swivels are loose, and so they sometimes try to tilt forward at their knees and stuff. But the plastic itself, I haven't noticed being thin or feeling brittle.
So
do they hold poses fairly well then, or are they kind of a floppy mess? Because I watched Baltmetric's review of one of the ones recently, and it's not the Spinosaurus, it's that other one, the
Slug?
I think
Slash.
So. It might be Slash. It's like a green and yellow thing. Yeah, apparently the ball joints, like in the robot legs, makes this thing just want to literally fall over.
Well, don't get your hopes up with that line. That's all I'm going to say.
To me, it's like, look, it's a mainstream line. Any of you guys out there that are purchasing mainstream lines, you're just going to have to deal with the simple fact that you're not going to get the quality thing you're going to get from a third-party company because you're not paying quadruple the price. But if you guys have a little bit of patience, you can actually fix some of the quirks if you're really into that line.
Now, well, I have to say, out of the four I have, Slug is the only one that to me has felt really loose, but he holds poses fairly well. He's more loose pegging together in his dino mode than he is in robot mode. It's really his dino mode that's the problem.
Okay, so, I mean, you being a Beast Wars guy,
thank you.
How do you feel
thank
about...
You. Wait. When you started and you said you being a beast and you hesitated,
he's a beast.
It sounded so bad. But you continued, so that was good. That was good. Carry on. Good.
So you being a Beast Wars guy, how do you feel about the quality of those compared to any of the other animal bots and Dinobot things you've purchased?
They're definitely on the lower end.
Beast Wars had like flawless quality. Tell me a QC issue. Like go to Megasmith's parts party, dig up a Cheetor at the bottom of a fucking bin, and tell me that you'll find one that has a QC issue. You won't.
You know what the worst thing is? I bet in the bottom of one of my bins, there probably is one.
No, well, that's what I'm trying to say.
But you're right because of those ball joints and everything. They were, and I like to look at it as they were kid proof. You could take them, sling them around, the parts would pop off, and
all the time.
Yeah, the quality was superior. It was.
Yeah, but it like literally.
Anyone that disses the Beast Wars area, shame on you. You know, shame on you. Because think about the tolerance on this stuff. When you get a masterpiece Grimlock with a ball joint. And we're talking a what? They were $70 or whatever at Toys R Us. Out of the box, the ball joint won't even hold. And then you go and look at a $7.99 toy from the Beast Wars era, and it's fine.
You shake it, and its legs and arms don't move.
The way I see it is like, look at this. You think about the manufacturing project, like the progress behind this. There are times that the factory sometimes screws up just like half of them, like just a small micrometer, and it can completely throw a ball joint completely off. So sometimes that is the issue just strictly coming from the factory alone when a lot of this stuff happens like that with ball joints. Because ball joints, there's a tolerance. If that tolerance isn't there, it isn't going to hold anything.
It's not
that's why RID Magnus had the problem with the shoulders.
I find today that QC issues and quality control when it comes to toys, maybe it has to do with how they're being made or where they're being made today or the cost or maybe Walmart influences it. But again, go back. You can line up. We could take every single one of us in the chat. Line up all our frickin' Transmetal Cheetors. I bet you every single one of them is perfect and has the same quality. Not one is going to go, I have a
absolutely.
Loose arm.
We're talking from the first release to the last one that they repainted. You are correct. Quality control is not what it used to be. And I agree with you on that. Now,
it has a lot to do with plastic too.
Yeah, you're gonna.
It does have something to do with the oils and the plastics and stuff.
Bull crap! It has to do with your
product. You make it cheap, but don't work.
It's your product. It's backing your product. They don't back the products anymore. They do come out, and that's just wrong.
Even though I am, I love all this Beast Wars praise. They still did cut corners with not putting top coat on the chrome on the transmetals.
Well,
so you would have the Christmas tree, the shaking of the transmetal rat trap. I've got one somewhere sealed, and it looks like one of those little globes that you shake, and all the little stuff flops around. They got one thing wrong. Give them a break.
But the actual tooling holds up.
Beast Wars stuff that does flake like that. If you were to find one that was pristine, that didn't flake off or anything like that, and say you shot it with like a clear coat, do you think it would have the same problem?
It would fix the problem. I've actually heard the guys.
You're correct. It needed some sort of sealant.
I heard the guys had the pickups.
You had the Grimlock from Series 3. The plastic degradation of Transmetal Megatron. There was stuff that back then, and again, it's not. But keep in mind, when you first got that rat trap back in, I think it was 1998, it didn't have that problem. When you first picked up Beast Wars Grimlock, it didn't have that problem. When you first picked up Transmetal Megatron, it didn't have that problem.
Amazing.
These were all problems that happened over a span of 10, 15 years. Yeah. Now, we're talking about toys that we're buying today, opening them up, and we're complaining about them 3 days later.
Yes. Right. Exactly.
If we did the same Cybercast podcast, whatever you want to call it, if we did this back in 1998, no of us would be going, man, I picked up Beast Wars Grimlock today and the legs just shattered to dust on me. You know? Something that happened literally 15 years, 10 years later of environments, oxygen. On a sub-molecular level that has to do with plastic cracking and oxygen getting in between the molecules. I mean, imagine what these toys are going to be like in 15 years.
Oh, my God. Like the crosshairs there, for instance, that you have in your hand. Those rubber bits that plug into his chest. How long do you think it's going to be before that rubber just completely disintegrates?
And I'll tell you, I collect, I don't know if a lot of people are familiar with Ronin Warriors, which is a weird Playmates toy line. That was similar to Ninja Turtles. They had all rubber pieces for their armor. Today, all of them dry out and crack and break off like nothing today. And it has nothing to do with environment. It's just over time.
It's just degradation. Like anyone who
collected old die-cast cars, like from the 60s, the rubber wheels are finished. You just can't help it. There's some Transformer toys that now slowly the wheels are splitting, they're cracking. Yeah. But granted...
RID, if you remember, just because you said the tires, RID was notorious for that.
Oh yeah.
With Prime and Ultra Magnus.
We're not talking
years and years and years. We're just talking maybe a couple years later, splits.
Poor rubber quality.
It's always where they would seal them together. They would make this rubber strip, and they would wrap it around the wheel, and they would seal it together. And the sealant or whatever they used just wasn't good enough, and that's where they always split.
Exactly.
And,
it's
and
not like
99% of them
wire.
Split.
Well, if you think about the rubber tires for Generation 1, they weren't done like that. They literally were molded in that shape. They were molded just like you would mold a real tire.
And unless you had one that was dried out because it was, you know, quote-unquote abused. I mean, it's a toy, but you know what I mean by abused. Yeah. I mean, I've got toys from 84 that have rubber wheels, and they're fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just the way they did it. They didn't split, you know. I mean, but,
well,
you know,
I've also had some that
disintegrated too. So.
Well, there's something I've noticed because, you know, throughout the years of collecting G1 and G2 as much as I have, dealing with the rubber tires and such coming off of those, I have noticed that it depends on the care of the toy itself. If the toy was left in the sun, if the toy was left in the bottom of a box, if it was kicked outside a lot, the rubber tires tend to degrade or just be completely missing.
But see how the argument is going here is that the only way we're able to find flaws in these older toys is if they were treated badly. Where right. these ones.
Well, it's like take the Beast Hunter's Ripclaw. That entire tail is nothing but a big rubber hose held together with a bunch of plastics. What do you think is going to happen to the tail of that in a few years?
Well,
it's going to do the same.
I tell you what, if you really want to look into it, look at Transmetal 2
Dinobot.
Or Megatron.
Megatron. Yeah. His whole neck is broken.
I actually have the. I was actually thinking of the Cryotech, but still same mold. That whole tail assembly, eventually, it's going to rot away because you're talking about a rubber that it's not meant to just last for years.
So far, mine's still good.
Well, mine. I actually have mine in a box, so I ain't touched.
Well, I mean, that's one thing that I get into because it's like okay. Because we talk about, like, the new toys that come out that Hasbro release, they release stuff with rubber, like, rubber bits. But yeah, how often do we see a – well, yeah, it's what she said. But,
exactly.
but how often do you see a 3P or indie toy come out that actually has rubber involved? Very rarely do you ever see that. I know it's harder to cast rubber, but –
I think it's more expensive, not just expensive,
but I would say they do it because they want their product to have a longevity versus something that's going to, you know, be some crazy price point thrown on the shelf, $15, 10, 15 years later, nobody's going to give a hell beans about, you know.
That's an interesting topic. That really is. Because I never thought of it that way. You're talking about a society that they buy something and they keep it longer. Whereas, unfortunately, in the United States, we buy stuff until the next best thing comes along and then we shove it aside.
So everything's Don, what
temporary.
Do you think?
So
I need to hear from Don in Sweden. What do you think about all this fiasco?
Tobias!
I'll tell you what. I'll let Dr. Archieville go first.
Okay. I was just going to say that that Voyager Megatron that came out along Dark of the Moon toy line. That hood or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Mine has signs of degradation.
Right oh, now. Really?
Yeah. Already?
Yeah.
Already.
And I can say I haven't played a lot with it. It's been on my shelves. Right now it's... packed away in storage, but last time I saw it there was some degradation
Let me ask you this, does it still is it one of those that you're afraid to touch that it's going to fall apart, or does it still do transform everything like it's supposed to?
Yeah, it still does what it's supposed to do, but it's not going to fall apart, but there's some miscolorations and stuff like that, then I feel that the rubber is a bit more brittle. Yeah.
I had this guy's hand just fall off on the shelf the other day. He's never had a sword in that hand. The Fenrir Fallen Legend. Just gone.
Wait a minute now.
Okay.
This one here?
Yeah.
His hand? Really? That's
hard
plastic.
See, and that's the scary thing. Like it's gonna be exactly like Beast Wars Grimlock. We're gonna have these toys 10 years later, and then all these reports are gonna come up, and it's gonna be like, man, I was messing with my first edition RC, and her wheels just fell off. Like I'm so worried that that's gonna be the case. That it's gonna come down the line, because it's the same thing. Like people will be going like, wow, my Beast Machines Jetstorm is flaking like crazy, and then you'll have a guy going, mine's perfectly fine. He'll go to check it out and be like, nope, it's not fine at all.
Right. Then you're gonna have that poor sap that sits there, and he's got the guy, he's gonna give you that poor sap that has an entire army of Viacons, and all their heads just miraculously just fall off.
I do not believe that this toy AoE Grimlock will exist in 10 years. I do not buy that Hasbro has actually fixed gold plastic syndrome. A lot of the cases in the last 10 years have started to crop up as gold plastic.
Well, okay, I'm gonna step into the realm of building toys here, guys. Creo.
Don have something to say about this.
Yeah. Let's have Don talk about it, and then I'm going to tell you about this thing.
Yeah. One thing I wanted to bring up to people who haven't been around the fandom is you're hearing a lot of talk from us, bad quality, this toy and that toy. Yes, through the years, the quality of production has gone down. One thing, as a consumer, you have to be smarter about your purchases. That's a given in any in nowadays as well. Hasbro looks at things from a case standpoint. Back when the Viacom was only announced as being one per case, I asked Hasbro at the panel, not where Headmaster RC was, as rumored, but this is the troop builder. This is the one the kids are going to want two or three of because of the show. Why is he only one per case when you've got more Bumblebees in this assortment? And they're all over the pegs already. And he said, we have to look at it from a case-by-case assortment. So they're looking at it as far as balancing out the cost of a case of figures. That's why there were more named characters versus Viacom Steve. So with Age of Extinction, you're looking at balancing out the prices as well. So the plastic quality on the Bumblebee may be thinner to balance out having more plastic on another toy somewhere else.
Yeah,
so I'm just saying. Don't be afraid. You're hearing these issues, and yes, you need to be aware. But watch the videos, do your research, and don't assume that everything is going to fall apart. Yes, in general, the build quality has gone down in mass production toys. Evangelist just did a review on the Mr. Freeze from the Batman series, and it's a terrible figure. But don't assume the entire Wave 1 is bad.
Oh, no, but, and that's what
I want to touch base on, though, because a lot of us that are watching this, we are after the new Creo that's out there, right? Mm-hmm. So I got Volcanicon here. I just purchased him just recently and put him together. I did not realize how much gold plastic this toy has. Now, I myself, as a Lego collector throughout the years, ever since I was like freaking 4 years old, I've never really had issues with any type of quality from a build toy. But with gold plastic having issues, I rarely – you don't see Legos made in gold plastic. There's a reason for
Legos indestructible.
Yes, they are indestructible. You can find a Lego from when they very first released them and still plug that onto your brand new Lego set you bought yesterday at Kmart or wherever you got it. But this thing is littered with gold. And I am afraid one day it might disintegrate. But yeah. I do have to admit, it's awesome. I do like it.
I've seen the four of those. I haven't got them yet because I want those two late wave ones that are actually G1 combiners, the Predictobots and
I can get those at Target now. They're everywhere locally.
Piranicon, the one you're talking about?
No, it was the Stunicons and Computron.
Oh, those ones, okay.
Yeah,
I'm after Computron, the Stunticons, the Seacons, Defensor.
Oh, you need those? I find those all over.
There's a few of them I can't find. Mike, if you can pick them up and bring them over, please do. I'll give you the cash.
All right.
I can't find the damn.
I see those. Those are clogging up my targets.
Yeah. Pick them up. One of them. Just say, I need.
There you go. Get rid of them. It's a new product in here.
But yeah, I want to jump back real quick.
I mean, this is the thing. A lot of you guys out there that have collected some of the Creo already, and it's like, well, I don't necessarily need that combiner again. Why not buy that combiner again? It's a building toy. If you guys are customizer, why aren't you buying them? That's my question.
Here's my thing.
Get that.
I don't care about Creo. I bought one Creo, and I am done with Creo.
Some people don't like Creo, but I myself being a big guy that loves building toys, I love that stuff, I always have. It's a great toy for kids. It's a great toy for, like, even adults or anybody. And hell, some of you guys out there that have desk jobs and stuff like that, and you sit at a desk all day, this is the greatest thing in the world to have on your desk while you're, waiting for this, that, or the other to come through because it's a good stress relief.
I can think of a few other things I'd rather have sitting on my desk, but that will work. That'll work.
Dude, I'm sorry. I can have Lego, Creo, stuff like this on my shelf and love it. I mean, this isn't the official transformation that I put together here, but I kit-bashed this thing, and it just looks awesome. I even gave him a tail, which you're not supposed to have. but yeah. It's really cool, you know, because he's supposed to be a bunch of dragons slapped together.
Yeah.
I
want to get back to what Don was talking about, because that's where I was originally going, and we sort of got spun around. But like I was saying, the Dinobots, I haven't found a thin spot on these. I haven't felt like any spot on these is, you know, catastrophic. This is going to break eventually. And I'm thinking the reason why Bumblebee is so thin in those spots is because Hasbro has to have already accepted the fact that in the last two movies Bumblebee shelf-warmed, and so this is Bumblebee as cheap as they can make them and stick them on the shelf.
Honestly, this is the bad thing about it.
I don't think there's any kind of focus really on character measured against QC issues. I think it's more so due to design. Bumblebee is a car. He's a lot more spindly. He's a lot more thinner, where the Dinobots are a lot more bulkier. They're a lot thicker. And just by design, they're just lucky to be able to not be able to break apart like that. Again, like, Drift. Heavy ratchet joints in certain areas. He's a thicker design, so he's able to get away with it. But the Bumblebee looks a lot thinner. I haven't messed with it yet, but I'm pretty sure.
I tell you, that backpack is going to scare the crap out of you.
Yeah.
Yeah. It really is. Well, it's like I said, it's the hood in the back, and there's like this one portion that's holding the whole thing together, and it's a very, very stiff joint. And it's, to me, it's like, okay, if you're really, really careful and you've got childlike fingers when you transform it, you're not going to have an issue. But if you're very heavy-handed, you're going to snap it off like that, and then you're going to be like, I'm going to take this back to the store because it broke in 3 seconds.
You're telling me not to buy it.
I'm saying if you do buy it, be careful if you decide to open it up and transform it. Now, if you're one of those guys that has to have everything that's out there, go ahead and get it, but be careful with it. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, I only wanted him to sit in his vehicle mode because...
But on a lighter note, for a lot of the new stuff that's come out, I actually did break down and buy the Evasion Prime. This thing has a great transformation. It does not feel like the crap quality we've been getting. This thing actually has very good quality. One of the reasons why I didn't really go for the long nose version Prime is I don't like the transformation. The first edition thing, that thing was a shell former to me and didn't do it. It just didn't. And to me, it felt very cheap. This actually feels like what we should be getting on the shelf.
That
because it doesn't flop around. It has a very, very easy transformation once you figure out how to do the arms. And the arms are really not that difficult. It's just figuring out how to make it work for you, you know. But it's great.
Yeah. And that's going
to
be my...
As for this gun can go away. Seriously. I want to see a third party do this for us. All those guys trying to slap whatever trailer on the back of this, give us a freaking G1 trailer that fits this. Give me a damn gun that actually goes in his hand, and give me a head sculpt because I can unscrew a screw here, pop his head off, put a G1 on there. You're done. If they did that, this thing would fly off the shelf and it'd be over with, because everybody would be like, "That's the perfect Prime for me."
Well, it's for me, that's gonna be my movie for Prime, because I have a problem with the leader class Prime. Not going off tangent, just saying real quick. To me, that's not a leader class toy. For the price point, the engineering, the look, that's not a leader class toy for me.
Of course not. I totally agree. That's some Chinatown stuff when I look at it.
Because if you look at 07 Revenge of the Fallen Prime, which is admittedly a god-awful thing to transform sometimes, but it's a leader class for it was $49.99. This Optimus
toy was a masterpiece toy in Japan. Like, just to give you an idea, that's how good of a toy from an engineering and a quality standpoint it was, that Japan would take that build and put it in an MP box and say MP, I think it was called MPA, which was the movie stuff. Yeah. MPA 02, you know, Optimus Supremo, you know? Like, that's how good that toy was. I totally agree, where the Age of Extinction one, geez, you know, like...
Yeah. I mean, but I saw pictures where somebody literally took the first edition, completely pulled every part of the truck mode off of it, assembled the truck right next to the Prime itself. So technically, it wasn't even part – the Prime itself really wasn't even part of the transformation of the
he's
truck.
He's the new Big it's Convoy?
Yes. It literally
– Don't knock Big Convoy.
Hey. Big Convoy is amazing. I love it.
Well, Big Convoy was cool. You know, I mean, a lot of you guys out there – I mean, I have respect for people that like shell formers. I don't mind a shell former. But when the shell former has nothing to do with the transformation gimmick, then what the hell's the point?
I'm just glad we got the Invasion Mode Prime, not just as a nod to G1, but as a decent Prime for the price. That's what I always look at, is this toy complex enough or involved enough that it's worth my $25?
Okay, well, let me plug this. The American version, go ahead and try to hunt this down. Do not try to get the Takara. The reason I'm going to tell you this is because the Takara honestly just has a little bit of paint. That's all they really did. They painted the feet the silverish color. They did the bicep portion here that's blue, a silverish color. They left this blue. They did a little bit of paint work on the sides of his head and picked out a little bit of blue stuff here on the crotch. These two portions here that fold that are on the sides right here, these are literally painted silver. That is the only. That is really the only difference, other than these stacks being silver. That is literally the only difference between this and the Takara. And I've seen guys already do kit bash where they painted everything on this and it looks supreme. Just save your money and buy these and get somebody to paint it if you can't do it yourself.
Now, isn't the two pack that's the Toys R Us exclusive that has Evasion Mode Prime? Doesn't that have the silver biceps? Or am I misremembering?
No.
He has a lot more paint.
There's a lot more paint. I do remember the Takara right here on the shoulder has flames right on the shoulder, which is odd because it's like you don't even see it.
The two-pack has flames.
Well, there's also the
– he also has flames in truck mode.
Mike, it's both.
Is it? I thought Takara just had – they just decided to paint those to the actual – to the blue color.
No, they put flames on the side too.
Oh, no, those are blue, aren't they?
It's really, really odd. I mean, it makes no sense because you don't see the flames in the truck mode at all. Because
the 2-pack has flames, but it also has flames in truck mode. They did it more...
The Takara doesn't.
All right.
The Takara literally on the truck is this part here is like silver, and that's it. That's the only difference in the truck mode.
Well, heck, I've gave up on doing any kind... I can't even do level 1 Gundam kits. I am absolutely horrible doing anything with my hands, which...
Don, you're talking to a customizer. If you want one, pick one up, send it to me. I'll paint it and send it back.
But I'm saying I love that Prime look so much, I may be willing to try and do the shoulders myself. At least replace the blue with the silver.
They are ratchet, so you're going to have to go through and figure out how to pull this... be able to pop them off. I'm not absolutely sure. I haven't really looked that far into actually trying to pull it off because there is a metal pin that goes through there. I mean, you might end up having to use masking tape. And the bicep will pop off because it's just like in a slot. But this portion here, if you're going to paint this portion here silver, you're probably going to just masking tape around this and then paint it. Paint it by hand. I wouldn't spray paint it.
Well, I'll tell you what. Were you planning on doing a custom of that yourself? Because if you put that up as a YouTube video, that may be helpful to a lot of people if you plan on doing one anyway.
If I eventually find a second one of these, I probably will. I'm kind of not into like doing the movie aesthetic stuff myself because I'm more of a G1, G2 kind of customizer. But if I do decide to do this, it'll be my first out of my realm.
If anyone needs one, I can get them anywhere locally. They're plentiful all over the place around here.
Oh yeah, they're not hard to find anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, I'm willing to do a video, like literally film the entire thing being done and explain what I'm doing and such, in order to help you guys out there that are really interested in getting a more accurate Prime. The only thing in truck mode, I think the silver stripe is a bit thick, and I really wish the Autobot logo wasn't on the stripe and it was up on the back portion of the cab, or it should be, but that's just me being really nitpicky. Other than that, quality is great. So any of you guys got any more stuff that you've picked up lately that you've gotten off the shelf, like any of the other, like, say, the back metal ones. Have you, any of you guys gotten those in hand to see what the quality really is like? That new back metal prime.
I stay away from chrome.
That's all you got? I didn't know if you'd pick up.
I'm going to open them anytime soon. So.
Okay. I don't like chrome. I've gotten gun shy on chrome because of transmetals. And I love my transmetals figures, but they fall apart. And if they didn't take the time to do it right back then when they gave a crap about quality, I don't trust that they're doing it right now. So I don't buy chrome.
What's your opinion on Jetfire when that thing hits?
My opinion is, well, I'm going to bite the bullet on that one because it's mostly just his weapons that are chromed. And I can live with that.
Well, not to mention, the chrome with Beast Wars, it was a freak occurrence. It was Rat Trap. It was, I mean, who else really suffered from it outside of Rat Trap?
Oh, a lot of them.
Really?
Rampage.
Yeah.
Rampage. With the other ones.
Rampage, Tarantulas.
Depth Charge, really? No, him.
I haven't seen it on my Depth Charge, but I've seen it on my Rampage, my Tarantulas. I've seen it on Transmetals 2, Scourge. I've seen it on, definitely Transmetals 2 Prowl. He just falls apart.
You're right. The black one specifically comes to mind.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I haven't seen it on Depth Charge at all. I have mine for years.
I've not seen it on Depth Charge.
Either. I mean, my son has Depth Charge, and I've messed with it enough that I haven't noticed any.
That one, man, I must have messed with that thing a billion times. And that thing, nothing wrong with it.
Like, yeah, it might have been the type of chroming they did, though, too. Because if you think about it, like the colors of the chrome can also affect
I just don't like chrome.
Stuff down on molecular structure.
No. And I also don't like those figures, so I'm definitely not buying them. That Grimlock is atrocious, and that. So is that Optimus.
Well,
we'll
be on clearance soon enough. So.
Oh, yeah.
We'll be on collector clearance, $5 each.
Oh, yeah.
Get this crap
up. Fun.
I don't want this, but it's $5.
I saw somebody on Facebook post it, and it said 25% off on like all this new stuff. And I was like, holy crap, this stuff is not moving.
Already.
It's just not. I mean, I went into Target, honestly, I was surprised because this is the only – I only found one of these guys. So I don't know whether they had 10 of these or if they only had, like, two. But they had, like, a couple of Bumblebees and one of those. But everything else, like, I wasn't interested in.
I don't know why Hasbro is so insistent on releasing a toy line a month and a half before the movie even comes out.
It's always to create hype because there's always the guys that can't wait. And not to mention, it's smart because we fall for it. We go, wow, Crosshairs is really cool. He's probably going to be awesome in the movie. And if we would have saw the movie first and known the truth, we probably wouldn't have. Same thing with Sentinel Prime. You know, like, wow, Sentinel Prime, he's really awesome. Going to buy that leader class. Then you see the movie. Wow, what a damn traitor. Maybe I shouldn't have bought that toy. Yeah.
Yeah,
you got guys taking the damn thing out back and slamming it with a sledgehammer.
But that's the thing is,
you betrayed us all.
I was kind of saying, look, with the 2007 movie, it was kind of like with Barricade. You know, it was just like, oh, Barricade, he's gonna be all over that movie. His toy looks amazing. Little did we know, you know. Little did we know.
Yeah.
Three scenes later.
I did late last week pick up this guy.
Oh,
nice. I depended on picking him up. How do you feel about him?
He's great. The legs are a little loose. I think it's just me not having everything locked in on the legs somewhat. But I'm a big Cosmos fan. I've actually got a second one coming from BBTS to give to Mr. McConaughey at BotCon. Because the last 2 years I've gave him a Legends Cosmos and a Real to Steel Trax. So I want to give him one of these this year because Cosmos and Trax are – two of my favorite characters. I like him a lot. I actually bypass Werf. I'm going to pick him up later. Well, I mean, if I want a second one or anything, I have one coming. But since I'm not reading the comics right now, except for Regeneration 1, Werf is kind of low on the totem pole for me. So I'll pick him up later at some point.
I've only read one comic book with Swerve in it, and it came with Generations Hoist, and I already know I love that character. So I'm definitely gonna get him when I buy him or when I see him.
But as far as news, supposedly, not only are Movie Wave 2 Deluxe is supposedly showing up, which include Drift, Tailgate, and Shrapnel is also supposed to be hitting in some stores as well. Which that is good news.
Yeah, that's good news.
Because there was a worry that Generations was petering out as the movie line was coming, but this is good.
Well, it's that whole, oh my god, here comes Cosmos, the line is dead again. It's that thing.
It's Hasbro's history with movies. They've always killed the line off that was running before it.
Yep.
Yeah, look at that last wave of animated.
We're all a bit gun-shy. But, you know, my local stores have done a really good job at restocking Bumblebee and Prime from those Legends lines all over the place.
Well, it's weird. They went clearance at Target months ago for I think of a Megatron for like $384, and they were gone for months, and they came back in at regular price. And even at Walmart, they're back in stock.
There are a ton of them. Yeah, the Starscream. It's funny. I found the Optimus and Bumblebee. I found at Walmart. Starscream and Megatron. I'm finding at Targets and Toys R Us. It's like one has one and the other has the other, but I can't find anything new.
Yeah, I don't really think it's like an exclusive thing. I just think it's the way they're being dispersed.
No, I just think it's
funny.
Coincidental here. I just think it's funny that in my area that's how it's panning out.
Like where I'm at, Mike, it's the same thing. I mean, you're in a different area in Florida as me, and it's the same thing here. Honestly, if you don't have that Prime or that Bumblebee, I'd pick them up because they're not bad. They're actually really good toys. They're decent. Make you feel like, okay, why did I buy this?
I've thought about it. I don't like the $10 price point because I used to buy Deluxes at $10.
The great thing is the little Target Master thing fits in the hands of most of the toys that you have, so that's kind of a loss.
I will get the mini bots because they're mini bots. They belong in my Generations collection. Optimus and Bumblebee, I don't know where they'll belong. They'll probably stand underneath Metroplex where he's at right now.
Well, Bumblebee's technically a mini bot. If they're going to come out with Jumper, you might as well get the Bumblebee to go with it.
Generations
roller figure. That's cool.
You think about it. You get the little roller figure. I mean, buy the Prime for the roller figure, and then put the roller figure in this guy's hand, and there you go. You know, that's how I feel about it.
That roller's about this
long when it's actually transformed. So, I mean, it's almost in scale for this guy. So, I mean, it's perfect for that.
There's a ton of them, so
cross play that you can do with some of these things.
There's a ton of them, so I'll just wait for them to go on sale.
Yeah, I would pick them up.
That's the way to do it.
I agree with you, Donald. I also picked up this guy over the camera there.
Oh, yeah.
Cosmos, yeah.
How difficult was he to find over there?
Actually, I bought him through Big Bad Toy Store. So.
So how is the market over there, like on your side, dealing with all this new stuff that's supposed to be in?
Well, the new stuff that has popped up regarding Age of Extinction is these Three Steps, Transformers, Grimlock.
Was that the windy Grimlock, the one you do this with? Grimlock, as I like to refer to him as.
I actually...
Witchblade Drift.
I haven't bought any of them at all, because I'm saving up for BotCon and all that.
The better investment.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, with this new line, the way they're doing it, I understand why they're doing what they're doing, but I can also see a major change probably happening about halfway through the line. Because, I mean, this is we're going to be getting second wave. And if they see that their sales are not moving, they're going to have to do some design changes in this stuff to appeal to more of the audience.
Or just cut it short, like Dark of the Moon.
That's true. And if they do that and they cut it short and then just jump right back into Generations or give us more Masterpiece or – well, we do have the cartoon coming out as well. So they could be more focused on better toys for that series if you think about it. We don't know yet. We haven't seen any. So
The only downside
Proto Man has, but we don't know. Hint, hint, nudge, nudge. Hear anything?
But the thing is – some Voyager classes and some Deluxe classes are starting to pop up here in Sweden as well from the new Mugler line, but they're not moving from the shelves because there's nobody. Yeah, the film hasn't been released yet.
Nobody's interested. And we were talking about that earlier, where it was like, you know, they put this stuff out here to sucker us, but they've put it out at mass retail levels and not at us. Collectors are going to buy everything levels. Like, it's not like it was with Generations where you would get maybe two boxes of Generations up on the shelf. They put a ton of it and there's no interest in it right now because it's been it's been 5 years since the last movie.
I'm finding out, because even when I went to go look around, I mean, I was just looking to see what they had. It's very difficult, and several people said this, to tell whether it's the one step, the three step, or the deluxe.
Because
the packaging, it's great that it says Transformers on there and it's all crazy, but the card art needs to change.
Yeah,
I
looked at this. That's the hilarious thing.
You'll
have the same, literally like the same card back for like both different versions of Crosshairs. And the only way you could tell is because you'd have that cartoony like snap action, whatever. And that's how you would be able to tell the difference, is if you look at that cartoony thing on the bubble. But the card art is like exactly the same. You can line them up literally, and if you looked quickly, you wouldn't notice a difference. And I mean, that's just one of the many lazy things. A guy who owns a toy store here in Montreal, he was looking to buy a case of the new Age of Extinction stuff, and he was looking at Walmart, and he's like, "This all confuses the hell out of me. It all looks the same." And I'm like, "It's sad. I mean, even look at the back of the packaging." 25% of the packaging is dedicated to registration and licensing. Like, it's just it's nuts now. Like, the bio is castrated. There's no more tech spec. It's a shorter card back. There's no more twist ties. They've cut so many corners, and yet, at least here, it's now 50 cents more a deluxe. Like, yet they've increased the price of the deluxe. There's less paint. There's less of a bio. The card art is not unique. It's not like you used to have Fast Action Battlers had that yellow, red, and blue kind of card art, and the movie line had its traditional like dark red and black card art. So you wouldn't mix them up. This, they use the same card art for everything. Like, for everything. Every single is going to have the same drift-like face. I don't know where my drift card is.
I did a double take on the Spin Attack Strafe several times, thinking, Strafe's out as a deluxe?
The same way. I was the exact same way. I'm like, oh, there's the Strafe. Oh, no, it's that Strafe.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, it is very confusing. I agree. It's very confusing.
It's bad right now. I mean, honestly, the way we're seeing it, this movie line, it's too cheap. I feel like when I walk in there, I feel like I am walking into like China getting some cheap little thing, but I'm paying triple the price for because it's imported.
And what's weird is I feel like it dawned on me. Well, Donald, you go ahead. I'll mention something after.
I'm sorry. I'm just saying it doesn't feel like a Transformers movie launch compared to the last three. It does not feel – it does not have any sense of weight.
Now, do you think that's because of the toy launch or the promotion of the movie, or should I say the lack thereof?
Well, I think the toy launcher – look at most targets were – my target was a week behind the launch date. Getting any product to the shelf.
Yeah, same with me.
I'm not sure how widespread that was. But I also think it was just, for me, I don't know. It's just, I see all these Titan heroes. I mentioned this last week. All these Titan hero figures, the Sparkler figures. I think they could have scaled back on all of that and gave us simpler toys, like, as I mentioned last week, the Fast Action Battlers.
But like I was saying, though, when it comes to demographics, you got guys out there that collect jumbos, and you know it, and I know it. They're going to buy any kind of jumbo that they want, and that's what's driving that market up.
The 2007 movie also had the Bumpin' Battlers, the Cyber Stompers. It also had that glut of weird stuff that also came with the more adult, if you will, movie toys in 2007. But I think that in terms of promotion, I think as a movie, they're promoting the hell out of it. There's cell phone apps, there's trailers, there's big cardboard cutouts all over the place of this, and your retailers, and you're going to movie theaters and you're already seeing the big cardboard cutouts hyping it up. So I don't think there's a lack of promotion for that. And I think that maybe Hasbro learned their lesson from the last movie line to maybe dial it back a bit, because the last movie line had a lot. It had the Stealth Force. It had the Human Alliance. It had the Deluxe Human Alliances. It had a lot of stuff. And people don't realize it, but starting with this movie line, there's no more Legends or Cyberverse. It's dead. It's gone. It was in Beast Hunter.
And no Bot Shots, which is sad to say. I myself, being a big fan of like the Bot Shots, I love those things because to me it was like, you know, that was a modern Throttle Bot to me.
The second series and Bot Shots those were great. Were garbage.
Yeah.
And well, it's because they added in different flips and such. But honestly, I see where they were going with it. They could have continued with the line like that, but it's sad to see that line completely go away because it was a great line to me. I didn't mind them. The Cyberverse stuff could have went. Bot Shots, they should have kept going with it.
But Cyberverse was something that was a
price point. I'd buy some Bot Shot freaking like Dinobots. Who else wouldn't?
Well, the thing is with Bot Shots was a case with Creo where they're just doing a lot of repaints of existing molds. I mean, that's how – I mean, if you really line up all the Bot Shots, it's like the Creo – you love Creo, but when you really think about it, there's like seven molds among all the figures. Like, I mean, what's the new Grimlock that they just released? It's all just repaint. But the same thing with Bot Shots. Bot Shots, when you really step back, it was all just the same mold repainted a billion times over. This is Ironhide. This is Ironhide, Arctic Attack, Stealth Advance, Flame Master, you know.
And then the Seekers literally are all the same. There's different colors and translucent.
And I collected Bot Shots.
Yeah, I mean.
There was a lot of just using the same molds. And also Bot Shots is, again, just like it with Creo, it was Hasbro's answer to a marketing of a play value that didn't exist previously. They were trying to get into that Bakugan kind of tabletop play value kind of stuff that didn't exist with Hasbro's current product. Creo was just their answer to get into the building block game because LEGO was doing so well. And the whole like Titan figure thing is just the basic action figure thing that is needed in the face of complex Transformer toys that a 5-year-old can't play with. That's also what Rescue Bots is, but they always, now they're really trying to hit every nail on the head. They really are just trying to get everything done. That the building block kid is able to get something, that the preschooler is able to get something with the Transformers brand on it, that the tabletop gamer is able to do something. There's the card games. There's all kinds of – like they tried to do the card games with the Energon Wars and the movie line, those 3D card stuff that they had. They've been trying a lot of different things in the past 5 years to just get every single market.
But let's go ahead and plug our giveaway before we decide to start talking about convention stuff that's coming up. This is
what?
Much an intermission.
Wait a minute. Yeah.
He's finally woke up. I think the old man's been taking a nap because we haven't heard anything for the past 20 minutes.
Is there any way you can put the autopilot change over that?
Here's the thing. It's no secret that I'm not really big into the movie line. I am the G1, G2 guy. You know, that's what I'm into. So, but I don't mind. Very interesting. I fell asleep a couple times, but that's okay. Anyway, all right. So last week, I wanted to see who could figure out how many MicroMasters were in this thing. And we had millions, not really, but we had a few. So, let's figure it out. What do you think? How should I do
I'm
this?
I'm going to guess 55.
Should I count one at a time, or should I just go ahead? Will everyone trust me that I'm counting accurately, or do I need to actually do one at a time?
Why would you lie?
Yeah, exactly. Why would I lie?
Hold the bucket and do
this. I'm giving the damn thing away.
Two, three,
there's the bucket.
12, right. 75, 46, I don't know.
All right. Let's see here. We got 2, 4, 6, 7.
All this time he was sleeping, he could have been counting them already.
Yeah, seriously.
I wanted to do it live, damn it!
He's doing it live!
Don't make me lose track!
Well, you could have done it Memorex.
It's the most interesting part of the podcast.
Count past 10, Weevil.
Count. This part of the podcast is brought to you by the letter F and the number 10.
20!
Next on a very 47, company.
48. There you go. There were 48.
My first guess was 55.
MicroMasters. And.
And.
Let me make sure.
Machine.
And a partridge in a pear tree.
And one GoBot.
Our listener, Chris McGinn. Guessed 46. That's two away. That was the closest. He is the winner. He is going to receive, as soon as he can give me his mailing address, I will mail it out to him, our last year's exclusives from Capture Prey and Mega Toy Fan, the B-Box, and the Bird Bomber set. So he will get that just for listening in and guessing. I mean, how much easier? I mean, it's just... It's just like that. You listen and you get stuff. Simple as that. So congratulations to Chris McGinn. You won. All right. Now go out and buy a lottery ticket and win something that's actually worth some money.
Don't give him your address.
That'll prove on eBay it's sold for $15,000.
It's a trap.
It's a trap.
It's a trap.
It's a trap.
So, as we said, we give stuff away. There you go. Done.
We'll end up having another giveaway. We'll end up having another giveaway sometime soon.
And we'll do more. I've got tons of crap in this room. I'll give something away. You just never know. You have to keep listening. Every week,
old boxer shorts.
See that overlord in the background?
I never said, you're right, but I never said it would be something that you want.
And now the sleeping Megamist returns to its slumber content.
All right, hang on a minute. Let me get.
Next time we're giving away dental floss.
Exactly.
Anyhow.
Now, wait a minute. Bryce, y'all have a... dental care up there with your big Canadian health care?
No, it doesn't
work like that.
Oh, send him the dental floss. There you go. Burn! Damn! All right, I'm going back to sleep now.
All right, get back to sleep.
No, actually, we need you for this next segment. We're going to start talking about conventions. This is all you, buddy, because you're going to one.
Right, but what we're going to do... is we're going to talk about some of the things that have been coming up and everything. Next week, we're going to do tips and, just little secrets or whatever about conventions, you know. And we're going to do that because it's only a couple of weeks away from this, this convention, this little convention. I can't remember the name of it. But because of that, you know, we're not sponsorship or anything. So because of this
OTFC
this thing. Yeah, there's this thing. I remember that. But anyway.
Don't call it that.
I'm not going to go into that. But we're going to do that next week. Next week's going to be a very interesting show. And we got a lot of things going on. However, it just so happens that we posted on TFW about the room-to-room trading that Mega Toy Fan, Capture Prey and Pappy's Collectibles are doing. We decided to do it in one big thread. That way everyone's going to know when and where it's going to be. You don't have to keep searching everywhere. It's going to be in one big place. You got your third-party extravaganza, your G1, your G2 goodness. Everything's going to be all there. That happened today, you know, so we'll give a little cap on that, but that's going to be talked about more about next week. Conventions. Now, we're not going to go into the do's and don'ts, this, that, and the other. Let's talk about the news that has happened just this week with a particular convention. Does anyone have any idea what I might be talking about in terms of news?
Hall of Fame.
Hall of Fame would be one thing. What do you know about that? What is the Hall of Fame? And what is it about, you know, maybe like fans actually coming up with someone that they want to be elected for that, you know, erector, and it, you know, it not coming to fruition. What exactly what is that? What is that all about?
Freaking Mike and Erector is where I was waiting on that.
I got my chance. That's why I bought it. I bought it so I could stick Erector up here at one point.
Easy. Listen, real quick. You know, we are PG-13, but keep your erections to yourselves.
Sometimes.
Right. We are going to limit the number of erections to one per minute. So go ahead, Mike, show your erection.
Sometimes I go to a comic store that sells toys and I get a little bit of an erector.
Oh, yeah, the funny part is it has a really tiny head.
I think I won the next podcast over.
And I
that's
I just
better
can't
one.
Do anything about that.
You can't do anything about that genetics, right? I got you. But, you know, Brycey, his head's bigger. I mean, it just
and
is.
And there'll soon be a bigger one.
There's going to be a bigger head.
And there's going to be
folks,
a black green.
Folks, there's really no, you know, skill to this.
Check,
you,
please.
You get the material and you work with it and the jokes just keep flowing. I mean, it has nothing to do with anything else. But so far, Bryce, you got the bigger head. Go ahead.
Hey.
Was that a Canadian thing?
Yeah.
The funny thing with the Hall of Fame is, like, again, it's one of those things that they're really putting together quickly again. And what I went on a rant on this on Twitter, but what bothers me is that now it's
do it
like,
here, do it here, do it.
Like,
do
the
it.
Thing that
permission ran away.
Is that like from what I'm seeing on the threads, and this is a common thing that's been happening the past 2 years, is because before when Aaron Archer was in charge of it, there was the ones that were plugged in right away, like here's who we think is going to be in the Hall of Fame this year, and then they did the fan vote. And what was at least good with the fan vote was there was a little bit of a legitimacy to it. Usually it was a Beast Wars character, and it was someone who kind of deserved to be there. But now it's 100% vote the past 2 years. There's no more like automatically put in characters. And the problem with that is that now it's getting influenced, in my opinion, by current fiction. Like, in my opinion, who should be there? Devastator should probably be there at this point, but he isn't. Instead, it's like, well, Wheeljack was really hot in Transformers Prime, so we're going to put him in. Or, hey, Ultra Magnus was really cool in Transformers, we're going to put him in. The fans are just – right now, Drift is in the TFW, is in the running for getting nominated. And it's like, are you serious?
Whoa, wait a minute. Did Drift – Do we actually have a list of
the candidates?
It's
not that we have a list. I overlooked the thread at TFW, and it's like a lot of guys are like, I want Drift. Drift's got to be in. Why? Because you got a movie, and everyone's getting all Drift crazy. Like, imagine if the Hall of Fame voting was done like that in 2007. We would have barricaded in the Hall of Fame before the movie came out. You know, like,
have
it's
you
just...
guys seen the design of Drift? He's just going to be your racist Japanese samurai stereotype.
Wait a minute. First of all, we don't go with racism. We don't go with any of that stuff. So he is next from the candidacy, as far as we are concerned. All
it's
right,
a big disgrace. 100%.
I mean, it was cool that they actually came out with, like, you know, like that classics version to reflect the IDW character. Okay, we bring him into a movie. But honestly, when you have a character that really doesn't have that big of a – barely anybody knows anything about this guy, but they make him a Hall of Fame.
What on the TFW boards, it looks like Drift is in the running for number one. And again, it's all – again, no offense to our 14-year-old viewers, but guys, don't vote for Drift. Are you serious? 30 years of fiction and that's who you're falling on? And then
they
on AllSpark, there's this huge wave of, we got to get Skybite in there. And I'm like, are you serious? Like, am I going crazy? You know? Like,
see, they did – to me, they did Drift about 20 years ago now, and he was called Dinobot, and he was far better.
Yes, he was. Well, Dinobot deserves that.
he is in the Hall of Fame, right?
That's why
he got nominated, didn't he?
He was the first Hall of Fame nomination, but Drift is not an original character, and he's not that interesting. It's been done before.
Drift was
why hasn't Soundwave gotten it? That's my
question. He isn't, actually.
He is?
Soundwave isn't it.
Yeah, he was one of the Hasbro nominations.
The one that I feel who is missing from that really should be there is Devastator. I don't understand how Devastator is not there. I don't understand how Unicron is not there. Like, I'll even put Rodimus aside. I'll be like, okay, forget Rodimus. Where's RC? Where's Unicron? Where's, like, the likes of, like, again, last year I was like, where the hell is Shockwave? Where the hell is Grimlock wasn't until last year. It was very weird how a lot of people were absent, and now you give the fans the voting, and it's totally influenced by what's on television. I would not be surprised if Bulkhead ends up in it, or if some, like, and again, there's too many
that
characters
that was standing in the back.
Yeah, it's whoever. The thing is that television fiction, the movie fiction, is extremely influential on what people feel is important. That's how Ultra Magnus got in last year. Like, if you, out of everyone here, and I don't want to be like, oh, the Rodimus guy saying this, but who do you think is more important, Rodimus or Ultra Magnus?
Honestly, I would say Rodimus.
You know, like, in terms of all the fiction and stuff, Rodimus is the bigger character. He's the star of the 86 movie, in my opinion. He's, you know, even if you want to use the comics, but the comics always get swept under the rug, he's a big player in that. But for some reason, because Ultra Magnus was in the Prime show and he was predominantly featured, and all the kiddies saw that, he got all the votes. He got all the votes, and he won in the end. And now Ultra Magnus before RC, before Devastator, before a lot of characters was put
in the
whole
thing. Ultra Magnus has had more of a presence over the years than Rodimus has. You have RID, you have Animated.
Well, it's technically a separate character, but yeah.
You have G1. Well, but yeah, but Hasbro doesn't care.
Yeah,
they lump them all together. So I would say
it's easier to repaint a white Optimus Prime. With Hasbro, he's also a character that's present due to the ability that he's easy to bring in. It's a lot easier to do that. Also, the thing is in the case of Ultra Magnus, it seems that he's only been, like, he hasn't been in the movie yet, you know? So they'll pop him in when they need to keep that name licensed and they need to do a White Optimus repaint, which is always, you know, a good thing. He's been in Titaniums. He's been in I don't think there's a single line that he hasn't been in. I mean, even Beast Wars.
Okay, this is my question.
A White Optimus repaint in a sense. Well, a Convoy, but yeah.
I actually do have a question, though. You think about this. You know, we got all this kind of craziness going on with the movie they're coming out with now. What do you think the following movie is going to probably have possibly in it? Do you think
who knows?
See, maybe some Hot Rod, maybe some Ultra Magnus in there, because they are becoming more popular.
you know what? In all honesty,
you think there's going to be another movie?
Well, if you would have told me the end of Dark of the Moon, it would have been Dinobots. I would have been like,
they're
sure,
not
going
to do another movie when they
haven't they already stated that this one is. That this is planned to be another trilogy?
Yes, it's already planned to be another trilogy. It has been.
We'll
it's
kind of
like
how
Pacific
this one does.
Rim. Pacific Rim was planned as a trilogy. They already have been shooting the second movie.
But
that.
If they
by the way, Godzilla promoted another sequel.
Yeah,
there is a sequel coming out for Godzilla.
They're doing a sequel.
If you haven't seen Godzilla, get off your butts and go see it. lazy fuckers.
If they did do Rodimus, if they did do Rodimus in the next movie, they would change his name to something, you know, totally stupid because Michael Bay wouldn't like Rodimus. And then he would
awesome as a character. Magnus.
Well, awesome. This is the thing. Also, the only
you know, by
the movie,
I wouldn't have to buy it. You know?
Well,
that, right.
We're not gonna call him Rodimus. We're gonna call him Mirage. Good,
dude.
Done.
Dude, he's so works awesome. For me. Awesome, Magnus. I loved him.
Awesome, yeah. Magnus. It's like Sound Tape.
Dude, I had him and sound tape.
And the best.
He rocked, man. He rocked.
The best. All right.
Well, hey guys, let me ask y'all this. Name one Transformer you want to see in the Hall of Fame, and I'm going to start because I want to hear what everybody thinks. And
oh, this ought to be good.
And I'm not going to say RC because she has one shot at some kind of existence, and it's not going to be in the Hall of Fame, and I don't get a toy. So I am not going to say RC. I am going to vote. I'm going to say Nightbeat because in both the American and the U.S. continuity, he was a pivotal character in some fashions. He's very popular. And he's a great – he's had some good toys in the past. And I think he would just be an interesting character to put in the Hall of Fame.
I would see a Prowl get in before a Nightbeat.
No, wait a minute. No, he not specifically said – Prowl. Wait a minute. He said, what is your pick?
Oh, his pick. Okay.
Yeah, that was his. What's yours? All right. Don went. All right, go. Predaman, go.
I think Devastator should be there. I think that I think he should have been there since day one. I don't know what's going on back there, but I mean when you think like you go to the most casual Transformer fans, and I'm talking like pre-2007 movie when all of this became mainstream. Go to the most casual Transformer fans. People remember the truck guy, they remember the Volkswagen people, they remember the dude who turned into the gun, they remember the dinosaur, Grimlock in this case, they remember the dinosaur, they remember the whiny jet, and they remember the green constructing
robot. Yeah, you're correct.
All right, let me ask you. I just want to ask one question.
Those
are.
Mike, go ahead. We're gonna get everyone's view.
Okay.
Mike, go ahead.
I'm looking around. Come back to me.
God dang it! You're moving. You're screwing up the Bryce.
Chrome Dome.
Chrome Dome. Why?
Because he was...
And 20 words or less.
Because of how popular he was in the Headmaster series and in Rebirth.
Sounds about 20. Good. Tobias.
I would say Prowl, I think.
Because he's a cop, right? Sweet.
Yeah,
I love what you're thinking. I love it.
I think it's awesome.
There you go, because he's awesome. Yeah. Plasticon.
Fort Max, goddammit.
Because he has a big head.
No, it's just the simple fact that he's a very iconic thing now. I mean, even in the IDWs, he came in as a smaller thing, but I mean, come on. It's a freaking city. How is that not in the Hall of Fame?
You're right.
That's like it's like his thing with Devastator. Why is there not a combiner? Why is there not a city? Get off the butt, people.
I
think.
Got you. My pick would be Sidecutter. I would pick Sidecutter.
Why? Why?
We're talking about transvestites, right?
Yeah.
he is without a doubt the best transvestite I know. And hands down. Done.
There's a lot of
I can think of four reasons why he is the best transvestite. All right? Done. I win. You know how long I've been holding that? I've been holding that ever since you guys. Yeah, I've been holding that one. All right.
Michael, have you thought of one?
Sideburn, no.
Why not?
Beast Wars Inferno. I think he's. Everyone remembers that psychopath.
Everybody remembers the Fire Ant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even though his repaint ended up becoming like the worst shelf warmer ever.
Twice. Twice.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Now I was going to ask Daniel this. This is just what I was thinking. Is putting Devastator or any combiner in the Hall of Fame a detriment to those individual robots that create them?
Well, let's put it this way, because we all remember the great personality of Bone Crusher, right?
I agree with that.
Mixmaster, actually.
I mean, maybe the Autobots had a little bit of individuality, and yes, Swindle was kind of pushed aside and given a little bit of personality, but in general, a lot of individual limbs, especially on a Decepticon side of things, are brute grunt dumbasses. Because you're let's get him! It's just Frank Welker and Neil Ross just belting out whatever character of the day for Wild Ride.
Do your Decepticon squeaky voice.
Yeah.
Do it good.
So, I mean, again, I don't want to knock the individual members. It's like, okay, yeah, there is layers of individualness to, like, okay, Long Haul was the engineer and this and that. But really, in all honesty, no one remembers that. Like, I mean, someone like me will go, okay, Long Haul was the engineer and Master was the so-and-so of chemical warfare. But in general, no one remembers any of that. Everyone remembers prepare for extermination. You know, they remember Devastator. They remember that is the iconic robot that everyone remembers. He was the first combiner. You know, there's so, and combiners, how important that is to Transformers, I mean, today, and how it influences third party and power core combiners and Superlink and everything of that matter. It all started with Devastator. To ignore such a key thing and go, no, we gotta put Drift. You know, Drift's gotta be in there, because we all know Shane McCarthy's original character from the IDW comic books that are, again, I love the IDW comics, but it's literally a drop of piss in the ocean of what people know of the fiction. You know,
I thought that the first
Broadside would get more freaking like love than Drift. I mean, come on, Broadside played a bigger role than Drift.
Broadside is probably the most ignored out of all the triple changers. You probably named
that's true, because in the Headmaster,
the worst example is Broadside.
Well, that's true, because in the Headmaster series, when the Superion, he would fly in Broadside when it's in freaking jet mode. So, yeah, he didn't really have a big of a character, but I mean, come on, Drift, really?
Dan Storm got his own episode in Focus with Paradon. Springer, I don't even need to say anything. Same thing
Blitz
with
Blitzwing, come on.
I don't need to say anything. Astro Train, I don't need to say anything.
Those guys all deserve it.
Octane had a Focus in Season 3. But Broadside was just one of these guys that kind of showed up, did his thing, and then disappeared. And he had actually two different designs in Season 3. They couldn't even get his character design consistent.
Right.
I mean, think about it. Look, he hasn't had a modern toy outside of that one third-party toy. Like, he's had his original G1, and that was it. Where every other character I just mentioned has had something at this point.
See, that's the thing that always upset me when, you know, they came out with Tidal Wave. It was like, why not? That's the easiest repaint to do in the Broadside. Why not?
Tidal Wave was more just Micron doing its own thing. He was called Shockwave in Japan, and they just wanted to do a big, imposing, and he was all purple Decepticon villain.
And they released him in three different colors, but why not a Broadside color that could have easily done?
I agree. I think they could have probably done something. I think that Broadside really needs to just have his own mold, and then they could really do something with that later. I mean, what could you do with Flat Top, the MicroMaster base? It's just I think that's also why they kind of steer clear of the character. Number two, the name, too. They don't have Broadside license. They'd have to think of a new name.
And Broadside is the least believable of the triple changers.
Of course. He's totally out of scale. He would be able to land on himself, a jet and a aircraft carrier.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it's one thing you can go, okay, locomotive, space shuttle. Space shuttles range in size, so it could be a big locomotive and a small space shuttle. They could kind of work out together. Same thing, helicopter, dune buggy. There's some helicopters that are small. There's some dune buggies that are kind of large, you know. and that applies to both in the case of Springer and in Sandstorm. In the case of Octane, assuming that he's a Boeing 747, which is the biggest of all the jets, assuming that he's one of the smaller private jets as opposed to the tanker truck that could be really huge, sometimes even bigger than a private jet, they all kind of were into scale with each other. A tank and a jet usually are about the same scale. If he's a F-16, in the case of Blitzwing, as opposed to a Blitzkrieg tank, which is what Blitzwing is kind of based on, then you get to broadside. Big-ass aircraft carrier. They don't get it small. They're big or they're big. You know, they're meant for jets to land off, and he's a jet. Whatever jet he is, whether he be a big jet or a small jet, he's landing on himself, you know?
Now, my question would be, would you be opposed to them actually making just an aircraft carrier that turned into a robot and then had like a standalone smaller robot that turned into a small jet that lands on that aircraft carrier?
Look how many Springer toys we had before the triple changer one. All of them were standalone. They were just one or the other. We had the BotCon one, or we had that Universe 1.0 Toon Pack, or we had that GDO Springer. And I was fine with all of those. I didn't mind those at all. That Spring, when they looked at Springer, they said, we have to go with one mode. That's fine by me. It's the same thing. Sandstorm was one of those characters. He got repaints that were just dune buggies or just helicopters. And that was all in, whether it be Machine Wars or they did a Legends repaint that was from the Beachcomber.
Yeah, they did them.
And I don't have a problem with those either.
One too.
I don't have a problem with those either. Megavis' face is freaking me out. I don't know what he's reading.
One thing I'm going to add to the Hall of Fame.
Believe it or not, I'm just holding it. It's not actually frozen.
It's I'm going to say that I hope in the future that we can add human characters, because there are some human characters I feel have contributed to the mythos, either in comic or in animated format.
Look, so wait a minute. Whoa. I know you want to nominate me, but that's okay. All right? I don't need that kind of publicity.
Okay, is your name Miko Jacker Raff? No, it's not.
Raff and Hall of Fame.
How do you know what my surname was? All right? It was Miko Jackoff, but that's close enough.
Just spike and get it over with.
I mean, my grandmother was Korean. I mean, it happens, but I mean, you don't know.
I'm just saying there are some human characters I think that could be in the Hall of Fame. I'm not saying this to cause problem. I'm saying I would like to see that as an option. At least one human character.
You're
going to
cause some problems. I can tell
you
that right
now. Okay, so
my
question is, if you're going to bring in humans, you got to bring in the aliens, such as like the Quintessons.
Well, I think that when it comes to Transformers Hall of Fame, it's not necessarily just specifically Transformers. It could be anything that's been under the umbrella of the fiction. And if Hasbro was still really, like when Aaron Archer was running it, if he was still in charge of that, I think we probably at one point would have had Spike nominated. It's the same way how
you know you would have. Yeah, I'm sorry, but you know you would have.
And on top of that, like, it's the same way. Now that Aaron Archer isn't part of it, we have no more real-life human nominations. We don't have, like, oh, we're nominating, like, honestly, where's Simon Furman? Like, not Simon Furman. Who's
there? Simon Furman. Andrew Wildman. He's not in it.
Yeah, like, it's same thing. Like, let's put in Frank Welker. Let's put in – there's certain people that just haven't been nominated yet. I mean, even at this point, like –
I mean, that's the thing. Honestly, I think the Hall of Fame should be a double whammy, like, vote. They should vote for a character, and then they should vote
for an actor. It needs to be bigger than what it was. And now, the Hall of Fame, it's disgusting what they've done to it, because it used to be an event. It used to be something that it was a dinner. You sat down. They had the big, like, fake Emmy statues at the front. Everyone was in suits. It was a nice thing that was done. And then now it's like, all right, here's the Hasbro panel. Here's the new toys. Oh, and by the way, Wheeljack won. Thank you. And then drop the mic. You know, that's literally what it's become now. It's not a big event as it used to be. Granted, we still I hope that they try to do something this year. I think that BotCon hasn't revealed everything yet that we're getting as Primus package holders and golden ticket holders. But I want to believe that there's still – some kind of fancy event that we're going to have that gives me an excuse to bring a suit halfway across the continent. But as it stands right now, doesn't look.
I agree with you. Some of the awards banquets have been lacking.
Well, yeah, like the Disney one. As much as I rag on the Disney BotCon, it was such a great event. The Hall of Fame, it was really nice. We had the nice.
I agree.
It was. There was a legitimacy to our hobby that day. You know, we all sat there, and Peter Cullen was there. Everyone was there in suits, beautiful, you know, high end. Again, it was in Disney, so obviously they had the space to do it. But it was so well done, and even in Texas, they did a good job. It was a nice event. Again, and I didn't really like the Texas year as a convention itself, but I really liked the Hall of Fame, like the way that it was presented and put together. Granted, the movie years, they put the Hall of Fame in the theater, but that was because we were going to get a special clip and Michael Bay and the whole deal, so I could forgive that. But it's just been a decline since then, and it's such a shame that it's been that bad because it had so much.
Daggone Canadian internet service.
Yeah, hey, my internet works fine.
Oh, there it goes.
Here he comes back.
And I want to change my vote. I want to see Pterosaur.
Are you going to vote for me too?
Yes. Yeah, for you. Megamus and Pterosaur.
Tobias. Yes!
I agree
with you. Start it now! Start it now! I will go up there and I will snatch that out of their hand. I will.
Well, the reason I wouldn't say Pterosaur is because people would think we'll just say he's just a Starscream knockoff. But
no, he was different.
I love Pterosaur.
He's loud and obnoxious, but he's better than Starscream.
He was my first.
Well,
first
I don't know if I would say better, but he's definitely different. I give you that. He's different.
Mm. Yeah, that's good.
Compared to G1 Starscream, he's definitely better.
No.
I'm Starscream.
See, right there.
Screw that. I can't listen to that voice for about 2 minutes before getting
when they're two.
You okay there, Dan?
You're breaking up, man.
Lost him, man.
He is in deep thought right now.
Part of man has disconnected or something. I don't know. He's like,
is he back?
He's so frozen. He's let it go.
Are you here?
Is he frozen or just staying still? I don't know.
I've done that before.
Yeah. Bryce, what'd you do? You still his internet?
Can they tell I'm still here? Oh.
That happens, man. It happens.
You stole his internet.
Yes, I agree with you guys 100%. I mean, myself, sadly, I have not gotten to attend any of these conventions yet like those, but when I do, I would love to be able to see something like this because honestly, to me, when it comes
you're
to
you're definitely going to go to TFCon, though, aren't you?
I am
definitely.
Going.
If I
to
have
try
to pick your ass up,
to go.
I will pick your ass up and I'll put you in the back of the truck and
come
take.
Get me. Come get
I
me.
I mean it.
I'll go. I'll come work your little bench for you and help you. Sell
Don't
your toys.
Forget, I have lots of guns too.
I have no doubt of that.
In Kentucky, I mean, I'm supposed to. That's like by law, you have to.
Hey, Megamus.
That's me.
Yeah, you have any junk or pterosaurs like the flip changer?
I have to look. I tell you what, the funny part with those is the stupid limbs. Finding all the little limbs.
Well, I need his gun. I need his gun.
No, I think I have one of the guns.
Yeah, I got one from Plasticon, but it doesn't have a gun. I need to finish it.
Let me see if I can find it. I think I have a little gun for it.
Well, now don't forget we're getting that repaint in the 2-pack coming out soon.
Oh yeah, I'm
which one?
Beast Wars figures on the shelves again? Woo.
Yeah,
I love it. Trust me.
They're repainting the flip changer as Strafe, and then
let's
they're
just
doing
hope that the quality is still there.
They're doing the Beast Wars Neo, Gildart.
The first version of the mold, the one that doesn't have the.
They're doing him as purple like Slug, and he looks a lot like Killer Punch.
Now, see what a lot of people don't understand is, I grew up with G1, but I didn't start collecting until after Beast Wars. Beast Wars got me back into collecting. That's why I love Beast Wars. A lot of the toys are some of the best toys they've ever made, and I'll stand by that even to this date. They're some of the best toys. Now, when they reinvent them, I love it. I love it. I can't wait. I haven't gotten Rat Trap yet, but I can't wait for that one. Yeah. Rhinox, the new Rhinox, is just amazing. I love it. It's one of my favorite figures.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I am worried a bit, like what Duren said in our private group about the – I know this was in the Facebook group – about the rubbery parts and how they will hold up in the future.
Well, that's the big question we've all been questioning, you know, even at the beginning. Like, all these new movie toys are coming out. Anything that they're releasing that involves, like, a rubber type of stuff, that stuff will degrade over time.
I want my Rhinox to have a butt in the future.
It might not. There's it might just fall off. Rhinox just lost his butt.
There's your plastic on. There's your intro quote.
Yeah, I know, right?
He wants to, my Rhinox to have a butt.
Yeah, it looks like you're back.
Excellent.
Yeah, you're fine now, Dan. Sorry.
It happens. You were frozen in place and weren't sure if you were just thinking really hard. Or...
stealing your internet. It's all his fault. Sitting there playing with something that's so awesome that most people would scream nav.
But will he throw
come
it?
On. It's freaking Death Sarms. Okay, speaking of which, have any of you guys gotten hold of the that – I guess it's a Repro Label pack for that Beast Hunters version?
Can I say something?
How is that?
Pretty nice. A bitch to put on, but it was nice.
Can I say something about that Repro Label set? I hate its timing.
You're too slow. That's your problem.
I hate its timing because my targets all just marked those things down. And I got in probably a day too late, and they're all gone. And because I've been waiting, because those have been shelf warming, I've been waiting for them to be marked down so I can finally pick up those Predacons from the Predacon Rising movie. And now Darksteel is gone. He's nowhere.
I'll tell you what, Mike. Tomorrow,
or not Darksteel, but whatever he's called.
Hey, Mike, tomorrow I'll try and make a point to go to Target. And if I see one there, I'll snag one for you.
How much are they going for?
I saw one at my Target for $6.98.
Yeah, they were going cheap.
Yeah, that's what I'm telling you, Mike. If you want one, I can get you one.
$6.98.
Shit. I'll snag two of them and send you one.
If you can find one, but I think that Repro Label set that came out has made them impossible to find. I think people.
I don't know, dude. This Target that I have down here is kind of weird. It's odd. Some stuff just sits there for like the longest time, and then some stuff just like vanishes. So I don't know whether they're selling it or if they're just stocking it up and they're sending it to a different store because it didn't move. Because there is possibility, because a lot of chain stores do that. I mean,
yeah.
Well, Don works for Walmart, and I'm sure he's restocked stuff that they sent to a sister store somewhere else. They do that.
Yeah. It's called merchandise transfer. Sometimes they will do a stock balance, and smaller stores that have a lot of product, it's like right before Christmas we got in a merchandise transfer from a store about 45 miles away. Problem is, though, you know, it is older stock, so there's not always going to be, you know, 1 year we got merchandise transferred in. And there was a Universe 1.0 Snarl. One Snarl that came in. This last batch, 2012 Presidential Barbies came in. So it's – and this was last year. So, you know, it happens. But with Target, part of the problem is it's so random on what store marks down what. Because I had bought a Grimstone, whatever his name was. And I decided to take it back just because I am trying to liquidate my collection. And for me, that Death Star sticker kit really wasn't a must-have. I went back the next day to check for movie stuff, and they had marked it up on clearance from $6.98 to $9.98 because that store was still selling them for $9.98. So it's just it's just so random on how Target does things like that.
Well, I mean, like I said, if I go in and I happen to find them, I will snag one for
still
you two guys.
$9.98. I'll buy it at $9.98. Do you know what Canadian prices are here? It's ridiculous.
Dan, I will get it for you and send it to you. I don't care. I'm actually moving up a lot closer to the border up there, so it'll be a lot cheaper for me to actually send it to you anyway.
Well, if you're coming
or
to
hell, if I'm going to TFCon,
if you're coming to TFCon, then save yourself.
Save you the shipping and send it to
absolutely,
me.
Because I'm going to throw him in the trunk.
There you go.
To bed.
I'm already being kidnapped for this thing.
Know it.
I gotta
dude, you don't have to kidnap me. I'll just follow you and Wheeljack, and then everybody can be like in awe because Wheeljack actually showed up to TFCon.
Do you know how many people we have going to that daggone show? It's going to be like a convoy. No pun intended. A real convoy.
Come on, though. They see people. The convoy of trucks and stuff, and then all of a sudden there's this Wheeljack following in between. You know everybody's going to be like, oh, okay, we know where they're going now.
No, but none of y'all look like convoy, so you can't be a convoy.
You don't know. I can find someone that looks like
a long time.
I mean, Mike looks close, so I mean, we could gussy him up a little bit. We could make it happen.
So sexy.
Don't be grabbing
what Mike needs to do is save his money.
Don't grab your nipples like that.
Save his money and fly up that way he can go with us.
You know what's going on.
We now got a plastic on for the next
off. All right, and so we got this going. All right, there we go. But I'm not trying to plug a show by someone who's on the cast or anything, but that's going to be, in my opinion, one of the biggest shows of the year. I really think it's just going to blow it out of the water. You're going to be impressed with the amount of people that you get to show up for that show. I really do.
I got to I still have to see what's going on with my job closer to the event.
Look, I already got one kidnapping in the works. Do I have to do a second?
That's what I'm saying, dude. Just save up your money. Come up there. You'll have a place to stay for a few days. Just come up there and chill with us, and we'll go.
We'll always find a place to stay.
It's a chance to not have to buy a freaking hotel room right there.
Look, as long as you're okay with sleeping in the shower, it's okay. Find a place.
And if you're passed out, we'll just conveniently find a bottle of vodka, lay it next to you, and everybody's happy.
What do you mean conveniently? What do you mean conveniently? There's not going to be an empty vodka bottle.
Yeah, that's
not bullshit. Nah, that ain't going to happen.
That's not so much the problem. I hope to be able to make it.
Look, if you're worried about the whole kidney thing, it's actually an urban myth. It's not going to happen. We're not going to take your kidney. All right,
it's just one half of your brain. Just one hemisphere will be gone.
Yeah,
it's
might take whatever in your wallet, but I mean, it's other stuff. Yeah, don't worry about that. Yes, it's all right.
Just walk it off.
As the coach told you, just walk it off.
Michael, you're going to wake up and have a name badge that says, "Hello, I am Abby Normal."
No, it'll be Hello Kitty. Hello Kitty. Nothing in your wallet.
Or Rainbow Dash.
That's okay. Look, we'll chalk it up to gas money. So it's okay. But no, we're going to – that's going to be a great show. I really am happy that they're coming down. And I really think it's going to be a good show. It really is. So I hope a lot of people show up.
Yeah, honestly, because East Coast, we need this kind of stuff, and this is the easiest way to get a lot of people from the East Coast to come up that can't normally hit up some other stuff. And somebody's out there.
I ain't going to Pasadena.
I am, but I'm doing it reluctantly.
That's the thing. I mean, myself, I don't see it profitable to fly all the way out to California just for that. But, maybe every now and then, but doing that every year, that gets really expensive after a while.
Well, this is my 19th out of 20 BotCons.
Oh, God, you got to throw that in our face again.
Back in my day.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. I'm so, ping. I'm I mean, both ways in snow.
God, dog it.
This is my 19th.
I have so little in my life that I am proud of, but this is one of the.
Hang on, everyone. Hey, let's give it to him.
I'm gonna counter you. This is my 19th of 20 BotCons that I have not attended.
No, wait a minute. No. Do not take it away from him. Give it to him.
It's all I've got. Really.
That and the cat, right?
Yeah.
You have that, and you have the cat that keeps killing you. That cat kills you slowly. It's like.
I have a cat that randomly attacks me. This is all
I saw that on many occasions. That is true.
I've been waiting on this cat to like climb his shells behind him and then just like lunge on his back and sink its teeth and everything into him. He was. Ah!
And the thing is when it happens on air, we're all gonna go.
As Optimus
saw it happen, I knew it was gonna happen, Your Honor. I knew it was gonna happen.
But you know, I go to BotCon because it's my one trip a year. If I go to TFCon Chicago, that'll be the first time I've gone to two shows in the same year. Just because
you'll do it. You'll do it and like it.
Well, I know, but now I have 4 weeks of vacation from my work, so I have time. And I hate saying this, but you know, with my mother now gone, I really all the things we were planning on doing with her, I mean, we're not doing now, so I'm going to have to do something with this time now. And
well, don't look at it that way. Just look at it as responsibilities that you don't have. And I understand that. But I'm telling you, you're going to have a good time.
Oh yeah.
TFCon is a. Have you gone to a TFCon before? Did you go up to
Canada?
It just rolls off the tongue. Anyway. Did you go up to Canada and see it? I'm not. I'm working on it. No.
Did you guys go to Cadania?
With me and my
Cadania.
Look, it's Kentucky tea, and it really gets you. But anyway, no, seriously. They put on a real good show. I mean, it's just.
Oh, yeah.
It is different.
But, you know, with BotCon, there's a lot of friends I see that's the only time I'm with them. I don't go for the dealer's room as much as I used to because, well, duh. What?
What, no hair?
No, I've got most everything I want at this point.
He walks in the dealer room and he cries because it's like, is there something here I don't have?
Now, see, the problem is I walk into the dealer room and I cry because there's
action master I don't have.
That's the problem. I go into the dealer room, and Dan, you know what I'm talking about. You go into the dealer room and you're like, yeah, exactly.
I walk in the dealer room and I'm like, yeah, I got this. You know, I walk up and I'll look around and I'll see maybe like that one or two thing that they have
that I want to look at.
And then somebody will walk up to me and you know, they'll start talking like, yeah, I've got that guy. And he's like, what?
Yeah, but wait a minute. I'm going to back this up because people think that you're bragging and everything, but it's not. It's actually not good because you go there expecting, all right, I've got X amount of cash with me. I have put this aside so I could buy stuff that I want. And then you go there and you don't find it. And everyone's like, well, he's just bragging or what? No. It's you're at that stage where there's only so much you're looking for. And,
exactly.
And I remember the days when I would go there and be like, holy crap, I need that, I need that, I need that. And you were overwhelmed. Do you remember and some of the guys that have been there a couple of years and you would be like, oh my God, you were overwhelmed and I gotta get it. I gotta do this. I gotta rummage through
that. A few times you come out of a convention, you got bags full of stuff.
Right, but you had the guy that knows what he has.
Right.
All right, you got the guy that's been there every BotCon that knows what he has, and you still think that you could dig to the bottom of that tote and find that little gem that he missed that you need. And it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, it just doesn't. But that little hope that's in your heart that you were like, oh,
exactly.
It's gone now.
It's like that one time you go with it. It's like, okay, I got every version of freaking Omega Supreme, but I'm looking like for the, you know, the one that they released in Europe that, you know, barely anybody has, where it's like black and red. You know, you're looking for that kind of obscure thing because you know somebody will have it. Well, but it's the one time you show up, it's like they don't have it. So you buy like this exclusive thing or something like that because there was nothing else really.
Can we do some post-editing on this episode and during this part? We just have some violin music. Just some
I was thinking some heavy metal going on.
He's right. He's right. Yeah. It's kind of sad. It is sad because God, I would rather go to a convention that was Dan, this has nothing against you because you guys fall right into this. That is more fan ran and it is just fun. And overall, it's not just so much about what I can find to buy as the whole experience. And with BotCon, that's really what it is. You got the panels, you got this, but it's about getting your box set and your attendees figures and hitting the dealer room. It's different. And that's where I'm at. I want more, quote, I'm sorry, guys, but you know, even in Transformers fandom, I want more interaction. I want to see the people that I haven't seen forever. I want to talk to these people. I want to learn more. But, you know, we're talking about interaction. I'm not talking about with a daggone mouse and keyboard. I'm talking about, like, personal face-to-face interaction.
Exactly.
And
I want to meet
a fan-based convention, you're going to get that. In the bigger ones, you're just you're not.
It's a lot more difficult when it, like, when I went to MegaCon, I mean, I've been to like several smaller conventions around the area, and I seem to get more, you know, when you talk to people in smaller conventions, you actually get that more one-on-one time, or you get to talk to four or five people, and you guys are all really into the same thing, so you get to kind of connect. You go to these bigger ones, everybody's like shoulder to shoulder, everybody's just rushing just to get what they want and then get out sometimes, and, you know, some people miss the mark, but it's, you know, that's what these conventions are for. They're to connect with people. They're to get out there. You might be going there to blow your money, but don't be afraid to break out that Kabaya kit and sit at a table and sit there and build a Kabaya kit with your friends. There's nothing wrong with that. Do that at the convention because that's part of it. Have fun.
Like where else are you going to sit at a bar with Gary Chalk while he's serenading you?
There you go.
Scott McNeil speaking in one of his 35,000 voices.
And randomly walking by with whatever drink he's got at the current moment.
Well, I think we're getting pretty close. We probably need to wrap it up.
Yeah,
but I wanted to end it in this. We're talking about conventions. And we have a convention coming up in Chicago in a few months. I think it's going to be a really, really good one. I really do. It is a fan-ran organization, and I've been to one. I've only been to one, but it was very well-ran, and there was heart. And it wasn't just in one aspect. It was all over, and you're going to see that. Now, and yes, I'm going to plug. I'm sorry, but there's a reason why. When you go to this other California show, the room-to-room trading is very, very important. There's an aspect of getting away from those guys that just want to sell you this toy because they have this toy and they need to make the money. You know, you go to the room-to-room trading and you're going to see, once again, this toy. But there's going to be, you know, when I was a kid, I bought this or whatever.
Absolutely.
And I tell everyone, and I've tried very, very hard because I work very hard at doing the room-to-room trading because very early on, I've been doing it since 2000, and I found that there's an aspect to where people interact not more than just giving you their credit card or their money. And you learn that the reason I bought this figure is because it was my childhood, you know, I loved it or whatever. You just learn more about that person, and it's neat. It really is. So definitely go to the room to room trip. I'm not just saying mine or whatever. Go to all of them. because you're going to see how different it. It's just great. What's that?
No, the rest are shit anyways.
Oh, come on. No, I'm serious. I'm serious because you know what? I go to them. Everyone I hear of, I'm leaving. I'm going to go because you never know. You're going to see people that you haven't talked to, and you get to – where else? I mean, I'm married. I've been married for forever. But anyway, and I talked to my wife about Transformers, and she looked at me cross-eyed and everything. But where else can you go? You know, you go to work. They don't know what you're talking about. Your wife, they don't – you go and you meet other people that have the same interest, and you can talk about all the aspects of Starscream, all the aspects of whatever, and – you can do that, and you're not doing it. You can't do it in a dealer room. You can't do it in a panel. The room-to-room trading is very important. It just is. You never know.
A lot of people, they always ask me, it's like, well, since you're so TFCon because you're staff, why do you still do BotCon? And I always say the difference between TFCon and BotCon is BotCon, to me, it's business. It's you go there, you do your thing, you do your networking, you buy your exclusives. It really is BotCon is a rat race because you show up.
It is. Well, wait a minute. But, Dan, you know I've tried very, very hard to change that. And I've even gone to TFCon and I've tried to change it too. You know this. It's because correct me if I'm wrong, but it is about fans. It's about about interacting. It is.
The thing is that I think the secret with TFCon is that we actually officially create social environments. The Friday at TFCon, there's no dealer room. There's no dealer room at all. You get your exclusives, which, by the way, isn't a crazy box set. It's this and that. But then after that, it's straight to the bar. You got to talk to people. You got to socialize. You got to break the ice. But lucky for you, everyone in the frickin' room likes the same thing you do on varying levels.
Exactly. And what's that one thing you do at the bar that I haven't seen anywhere else? What is that?
Which? Like the food that's based off of Transformers stuff and everything?
Begins with a K.
Which one? Oh, karaoke.
Yes. That is so funny.
Well, also, we're going to be having a live band that's it's called Cybertronia Spree, which they dress up as Rodimus and Rumble.
I saw a video of them. They were freaking cool.
Yeah, so they're going to be doing a live presentation of a whole bunch of songs and stuff. So it's going to be pretty freaking rocking this year. It's going to be pretty crazy. So, I don't even know what to say. Like, it's just the thing is, like, and I've always felt this with BotCon. BotCon, it's you rush to get your exclusives, then you rush to get your club exclusives, then you rush to line up in the dealer room, then you rush to line up in the line for the Hasbro product preview panel because you want to get good seats, then you rush to get into the line for the autographs. Then it's a lot of rushing. It's a lot of just
you're running. Absolutely.
And the amazing thing is, BotCon, to me, it's a five-day weekend. It's a five-day show, but it passes so quickly because you're constantly running. You're constantly running and running and running. You're running to this. You're running to that. You go into the dealer room. You get a moment to breathe. You go around a bit. And then the problem is, too, the locations that they usually pick, not all of them, I'm not bashing all the locations, but some of them, because they were so obscure and so big, there's no one place that all the fans go. The one problem I have with Pasadena is their bar is too small. It's painfully small. It's like the size of a closet small. And so you can't find that one place where all the fans are gathering. So you can't even have that one place where you could, you know, the watering hole where everyone could talk about what they got and what they did that day. Where TFCon, because it's all in this bubble, that you go to the convention, you go to the deal room, you go to the panels, it's all so close to each other that it's this entity that everyone's able to interact and find each other and communicate. Even after the convention closes on the Friday or Saturday or Sunday, everyone is still mingling. And that's why we also picked that Chicago location, because it's very similar to our Toronto one. So
now I would like to say one thing. I know running long, but I do want to say one thing. Having been to all these BotCons, it has gotten a little more impersonal over time. I was there in Fort Wayne the first year in 94 when John and Carl had it. I was there for every year except 97 in Rochester. And yes, there is some. It has gotten a little more impersonal due to the size of it growing and the official status, which brings both pros and cons to any show when it becomes official. But I don't believe that it's a dearth of social activity, like a lot of people say. True, the social activity is more fragmented, but you also have a chance of meeting a lot more people with a lot more diverse interests. So I don't want everyone to think, well, BotCon, you just go for toys and that's it. There is social interaction. There is fun things to do. There is some downtime. But, yes, there is a lot. Being official, there are a lot more panels. There's a lot more to do, but you don't have to do them. But, you know, if you can't make Pasadena, and I'm going because this year I think could be a special year for me for reasons y'all know, I hope. Plus, there's people this is my one trip a year that I always take just to get away from everything going on. But if you can't make it to Pasadena or you can't make it to TFCon, do the socializing. Do all that. But like I said, I don't want anyone to think BotCon, it does not have that. It's just being official, there are pros and cons. Go and see it for yourself if you can make it.
And well, don't go to BotCon thinking that.
The first time I met Megabus was BotCon, wasn't it TFCon? And it was the parts parties. You know, so it shows that they're
hell really, yeah! You know it!
That he's regretted the rest of it.
Doesn't matter. Once you've seen it, you can't unsee it.
Yeah.
It's like a car accident.
That's right. But here's the thing. There was one thing I wanted to say real quick.
I don't want to see it.
No, here's the thing. All right, we've been doing BotCon since 2000. Couple people, one of the people that actually on this show, have said, you know, you need to come up here. You need to come up here. So we went. We went to TFCon, and there was a quasi after hours trading type thing going on. And we said, no, we're going to come up here. We're going to advertise. We're going to do a parts party. And it was successful. And we did it. And it's not because of the Mega Toy Fan name or whatever. It's because once people got there, they interacted. It's all about interactions. It really is. We're going to do it everywhere that we go to a convention. We do these because when you're in a dealer room and this guy has a product and you are the consumer, it's a different interaction to where you go to someone's hotel room. I know that sounds weird, but you do. And it is weird, but, you know, and that stuff doesn't happen, by the way, you know.
Yeah. I'm not.
But anyway, but there's a different atmosphere and everyone's more laid back and chilled and you can talk and you can do and it's you interact. Or if you want, you go down to the bar, you see what's going on, you get the karaoke going on, all that stuff. And it's just it's wild. And I tell you one thing. You better hope.
Or the water slides.
You're correct. Oh my God! Yeah, you better hope that BotCon doesn't hear about that stuff. You know, those that be, because that's some interesting shit you got going on. That is awesome.
Okay.
I mean, the water slide, the drinks, the karaoke.
The water slides are right next to the bar. The bar is right next to the dealer room. It's all there.
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
decide, I'm going to go down that slide no matter what.
Okay.
One of the big things that I'm noticing, because, you know, you talk about this continuity and such and all this craziness. There's one other convention I know of that even goes on here in the States, and it's called Dragon Con. It's the same way. Everybody gets along. It's ran by fans. It's not ran by some crazy thing that completely takes it all over. And it's like every kind of anime and everything you can think of. So it's a lot like that. I haven't gotten to go, but I've heard this from countless people that go every year in this area that I live in. I've got a lot of people that go there and do film. It's amazing from what I've been told. So, I mean,
the idea of interacting socially, it's not a new thing. It's really not. So, but just because you take it and add a little Transformer or
a fan
anime, whatever, those particular shows kind of, you know, they stick out. Unfortunately, you do have those. And, I mean, don't get me wrong. This particular show, you know, they are more about the money, but that's the whole idea. You don't want, and we all know the past about a show that didn't make the money and lost the rights and lost everything because they weren't making money. So you want them to make money. You want that to happen. You want them to be successful so that you have the opportunity to not only get what you want, but to interact with the people that you never get to see, but maybe once a year.
And that's what makes it fun versus.
Exactly. You know, you can make it a capitalist corporate whatever. But what it comes down to is if you are happy with what you do, your experience, then it was worth it. It really was.
I completely agree. And that's the way every convention should be. Just trying to think what's the name of those, the one that's overseas, it's always Auto Assembly. When is that? Is that
in August? Yes. I think.
It's in August?
Usually after TFCon. They usually do it after us.
How many of those have you been to, Tobin?
None. I've heard from Derek Wyatt, who's one of the few guests that like have done all three, and I've heard from him specifically.
Right.
He's like, it has that small environment kind of thing, but he said it's not organized very well. It's a lot of drinking. It's a lot of just – are you supposed to be at a panel? I don't know. It's just – he says it's fun, but it's kind of all over the place. He said the one good thing is tons of UK exclusives. So if you're looking for Skyquake or Stalker or something, then really good place.
Damn it, I got to save my pennies now.
I know, right? So, Dr. Archibald, have you been to any of these auto assemblies?
Excuse me?
Have you been to any of these auto assemblies?
Funny thing, I haven't. I've been to BotCon once, and I'm going this year, but never been to auto assemblies.
And what are you going to do?
I'm going to Parts Party with Meganus.
And you know it! You know it! Absolutely.
I'm looking forward to it.
Don't
just
let him show it to you.
Were describing it.
Oh, I will show it to you.
Keep that thing put away.
Yeah, I will show it to you and show the magnitude of the power. The power.
Of the Megamus.
Of the Megamus.
Of the Megamus. Should I bring a blue pill?
No, but sheets are optional.
Just better bring protection, that's all.
Plastic sheets are kind of, you know, it's okay.
I was kind of looking forward to this.
You should still be. Don't let these guys discourage you, all right? No.
Alrighty, so.
In any case.
Anyway, we're going to go ahead and wrap this up for the night. We will see you guys next week in our Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure. You guys be sure to check out TFCon and BotCon, and also check out our sponsor, Capture Prey. Great toys, great service, great prices, CaptureProey.com. Catch you guys next week. Good night.
Everyone take care.
Later.
This has been Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, a presentation of TFTalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@TFYLP.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening, and we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.